At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius in Londinium. In my wine bar favorite spot, the centurions have gathered. They want to know where Germanicus is. Well, he's at the edge of the empire. Very edge of the empire. Enjoying himself in a city that has a tribute, or a country, Croatia, that has tribute to Nero Claudius Drusus Germanicus. Born 38 BCE, died 9 BCE. This is a man who could have been the heir to Augustus, however, an early death at 29. Germanicus sent me a photograph in these last days of a tribute to Drusus, and more than a tribute, an acknowledgement of the power of Rome 21 centuries later. Germanicus, a very good day to you. It's wonderful to speak. You were at the edge and you promised me you'd be very careful because you're coming up against the highwaymen that prey upon the edges of the empire. I'm quite comfortable in London. I'm waiting for you to come home. Tell me about the tribute to Drusus. It's wonderful to see, but still, what does it mean in the 21st century? Good evening to you.
Good evening, Gaius. You know, Dalmatia is really an archipelago separated from the mainland of what we now call the Balkans by mountains. And so it's an area that is protected and can survive on its own. But in our time, Dalmatia is kind of a shatter belt, a frontier area, not easily controlled, because once you go into the heartland of Dalmatia, you approach other peoples. And in our time, of course, it would be the Dacians. Later on, it would be the Avars, and of course, their Slavic minions. And so these islands and peninsulas in Dalmatia have to fortify themselves and survive, and they did. And so even though Rome's hold on Dalmatia as a kind of frontier area, a kind of borderland, nonetheless was critical in Rome because Dalmatia connected Italy and all of the Western Empire to Greece and all of the Eastern Empire. And so this was a critical area. And the city I'm in now, Ragusa, was created in the Roman Dark Ages, where these small little city-states along the archipelago of the Adriatic were able to survive the Avar and Slavic inundation and remained Roman throughout the Middle Ages and into modernity. And in fact, this area was never conquered by the Ottoman Turks. And it is a remarkable continuity to go back all the way to the time of the divine Augustus, who essentially founded the major city in Dalmatia, which is Salona, and all of the other constellation of cities that emerge. And of course, I'm in one of those, Ragusa.
In the 21st century, they say Dalmatian, as in the dog, Dalmatian coast. Drusus's tribute, however, why?
Drusus was the son-in-law of Augustus through Augustus' marriage to Livia, and was a terrific soldier. And in fact, Tiberius was also an excellent soldier and general as well. But Drusus had special qualities. And during the this period, he was a governor of Dalmatia. And, you know, Augustus founded, as I said, the city of Salona. Then Drusus went up to fight in Germania, as so many Romans did. And my namesake, Germanicus, was the general who finally put down the Germans and the long German war that Arminius, or Hermann, you know, the German, had initiated with the destruction of the three legions in the Teutoburger Wald in 9 AD. And that war lasted a very long time. And Drusus was an integral part to the success of Rome and its resilience in withstanding the German rebellion. And, you know, Rome did that for centuries, and it continued to do that in spite of the barbarian migrations that seemed to inundate Rome, but somehow Rome survived even those in its own way.
He died a young man. Any suspicions?
Well, it was an equestrian accident. You know, when a horse falls on you, that can go badly. And in the case of Drusus, it certainly did. But, you know, his son, Claudius, was a very effective emperor. You know, he's the reason we're residing in Londinium, and why the empire had reached its maximal state, really. And the Julio-Claudian line, for all of its weaknesses, was able to produce great emperors. And of course, the essence of Rome's success, as we've talked about so many times, was the fact that it was able to move, transition, transform from a very fractious republic that was apparently dissolving into a kind of immobilization, and somehow punch through and create a new leadership institution, the imperial institution, which was highly successful. The emperor system in Rome lasted for almost 1,500 years. In fact, just about 1,500 years. And that is a testament not just to Rome, but also to the fact that there is, at least hypothetically, some strength to an emperor system as opposed to a monarchy. And this is a question of great urgency, I think, in the United States today.
I want to prowl the frontier where you are and move it 2,100 years forward. Since you've been away, Germanicus, we've had news from the 21st century frontier. I list in no particular order, but chronology to my knowledge. 19 so-called drones launched in some fashion in Belarus crossed the Polish border. One or more of them had long-range tanks. One or more of them was made of styrofoam, a decoy. No casualties reported, but some of them, according to Polish information, were shot down. Following that, there was a lone Russian warplane seen circling the capital of Estonia, the Baltic states, to the north of Poland. Following that, there was a bombing raid on Ukraine that alarmed the Polish frontier, and the Poles are reporting that they scrambled their jets. Half of all NATO aircraft are now in Poland or protecting Poland, because we've had now news of Russians probing with warplanes the Polish frontier, and the answer is that the British and other members of NATO are helping to patrol the Polish frontier. That's where we are right now. This looks like Cold War provocations coming up to the edge and then backing off. Mm-hmm. I mention, as I did to you, there's a 1965 movie called The Bedford Incident. And it's about a destroyer captain for the U.S. Navy, played by Richard Widmark, and an unseen Russian diesel-driven submarine, not nuclear, along the edge of the Arctic ice pack. And they're playing chicken with each other. And it leads to a catastrophe, not purposeful, accidental, when two big dogs both have nuclear weapons. That is not so far-fetched when we're recounting the hair trigger that Russia has and that Poland have because of their history. You're at the frontier of the Roman Empire, so you feel what it's like, how exposed you are if things go badly. What is your measure of the 21st century? Are they being careful about how easy an accident can happen when you're both sitting, staring at each other? Do they remember that from the Cold War?
There was a difference between the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age of the 1960s that produced the Bedford Incident among many other movies, whether it would be Dr. Strangelove or Failsafe and many other movies. Seven Days in May, yes, but that's, of course... That's an offshoot. But I mean, the fact is that America and the Soviet Union were incredibly worried about an incident, just a simple, out of the blue miscalculation that would lead to nuclear war. And the difference between that kind of sensibility and the consciousness that exists today is that you have a gigantic alliance, NATO, in which the small states like the Baltics, who have a paranoia. I mean, it's natural and understandable that Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, they're tiny countries, and they're getting smaller all the time because of their incredibly low fertility, that they're worried about Russia returning and taking them over as they did in 1940. And because they're so insecure and fearful, and they want some massive gesture from the U.S., to reassure them, that they act spasmodically and irresponsibly. And you see irresponsible behavior across the Baltics and even in Poland, who should know better, is that this is potentially leading to an incident that would plunge Russia and the West into a general war. And it is very strange to see the British cheerleading this on and continually pushing. Many of these incidents are really what would be called nothing burgers in the world of cliches. And yet they are inflated into, oh, we have to invoke Article 4 or Article 5 or whatever to build this up into a great incident. Now, all through the Ukraine war, it has to be said that NATO aircraft have been right at the edge of Russia all the time. And they have been guiding and controlling and providing C3 ISR or C4 ISR to Ukraine. And the Russians have showed incredible forbearance. And so it's a situation where you have aircraft there in a potential confrontation all the time. And the fact that some of these NATO states want to push it for their own, let us say, venal reasons, is scary because you have these NATO countries that, in one sense, are true vassal states. And yet, at the same time, they're jockeying to get the U.S. more involved from the standpoint of the Baltics and perhaps even Poland, although I'm not sure, but that they want to get the U.S. more involved because they feel weak and insecure. And then there are, I would call them rogue states like the United Kingdom, whose ruling class wants to get into combat. And I'm not sure why they're pushing it, but they are. They're being very, very aggressive. And this is a dangerous situation. I think you're right.
They want a no-fly zone.
Yeah. That is World War III. A no-fly zone. If it's a no-fly zone over Ukrainian airspace.
Yes, that's what the president has talked about. That's what NATO has talked about. Talked about. That's all I have.
Yeah, they talk about it. They've been talking about it since the early days of the war and the Biden administration. But we meaning the United States, has never done that. If that ever happens, we're into World War III, I think almost reflexively.
Germanicus Ismach of Laos, I'm Gaius John Vassar. I'm in Londinium and safe. The centurions are all nodding. We're very safe here. The Thames is a little cold tonight. The summer is fleeting. We're turning the autumnal dial all the way up. And we're turning ourselves to a story that repeats itself again and again, which is common sense in America versus those who have a progressive agenda and are well-educated and credentialed. When we come back, this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm in Londinium. Michael Vlahos is at the edge of the frontier as Germanicus in Dalmatia, and he promises he's going to be careful. We'll be right back.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.